Marty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And you've heard me all night share about a very special person. Someone to me, he was like a second father and a guy. I spent about 1,000 games covering Phillies games, Sixers games, and college basketball with him. Sitting right next to me is my right-hand man, Jack Shore. And nice enough to join us now on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast is another Philly legend, Coach Phil Martelli. Hey, Phil, how are you?
Rob, how are you?
It's been a tough week, Phil. It's been a very tough week, and I really appreciate you taking some time out to come on here and share with our listeners some of your favorite stories, favorite memories of Jack, our good friend, our dear friend. You knew him longer than I did, obviously coaching at St. Joe's for 24 years. Some of your thoughts, some of your stories, Phil.
Well, earlier in the week, I got a note from Marie Wozniak that hospice was now part of Jack and his family's every day. And I just started to think about a gentleman. You know, he was just always calm. He had a look in his eye that he loved being, you know, whether you would see him at a Phillies game or you would see him at a college basketball game or you would see him at his beloved Palestra, he was calm. And most of us around college basketball, as you well know, we're a little bit more frantic and churning. But he was just such a gentle man, and really was there about the game. He wasn't there to be seen, and that carried over. And the thing that jumps to me was the Herb Good dinners, where we're honoring, and I could go back to when we were honoring 10, you know, non-Division I kids, the quote-unquote small college all-stars, and the care with which Jack planned that banquet. It was the fastest banquet anywhere in the United States. You could give awards out, and in 55 minutes, you would have named the Player of the Year in the Big Five. You would have honored many Drexel Dragons who had done remarkable things, and it was all done at Jack's direction. But he was never front and center. Mm-hmm. He was never the guy yelling into the microphone. Care. He cared about the game. He cared most especially about the people that played the game. And any number of times, and I'm a nut about the Phillies. Mm-hmm. I have for my whole life been quote unquote a Philly fanatic. And I would talk to him every February. Mm-hmm. And then I would talk to him in November after the seasons had ended, whether they would be playoff seasons or World Series or non-playoff. And he would always talk about the players around, not just the players around the ball club or different members of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
He was Philadelphia through and through. Like, people knock us all the time, but what we do is we do care about each other.
Yeah.
And those that are down and out get even more care, which they should. And Jack was always at the front of that. He wasn't a guy, Rob, that ran, and I mean this respect. He wasn't a guy that ran, after a Jay Wright because they were at the top of the mountain. He didn't run after a John Chaney when they were at the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
He put as much care and passion into a Penn Columbia game on a Friday night as he did a Temple UMass game at the height of that A-10 rivalry.
It's very well said, Phil, because it's so true. And I know he had such a deep appreciation for you and for Fran Dunphy and for Coach Chaney and for Jay. And you would always hear, Jack, he would always tell me good hoops or bad hoops, right? And his term was, he had such an appreciation for good hoops and appreciation for guys who taught the game well. And you've always had a special, you get it. You get it in this city. You always did. You always understood what the media was like. But sometimes I would be sitting I would cover a game, and I didn't do as much college basketball. I'm mostly focused on Phillies and Eagles, but I would be there, and I would see how you have that special relationship with certain guys. And with Jack, there was such a respect there, wasn't there?
No, there's no doubt about it. I always felt that, not that the media was a mouthpiece, but the media got us into front doors. And whether it was the old school time when a newspaper was dropped on your doorstep, or people were buying it at the newsstand, or the electronic media that put stories out. And, for them to have an opportunity to do their job, there was this mutual respect, because I didn't want anything from anybody other than the promotion of the program and the promotion of the players. And Jack wasn't there to make a name or to drop a needle that's a beautiful way to put it. He had an appreciation for the game.
Yeah.
He had appreciation for the challenges that come with coaching, but he also understands the beauty that came with coaching college basketball in Philadelphia. Never heard him say a bad word about a Phillies player unless they got too big for themselves, or management, or a particular manager. And man, Bob, I know you'll agree with this one. There, no one that I've ever met had the wealth of trivia questions that Jack Schubert had. And they were impossible.
Oh, no doubt.
They were absolutely impossible. And they were just delivered in this line that you thought, well, he doesn't think this is really a hard question. He just kind of lays it out there.
You know what's funny too, Phil, is like, and I said this a little bit earlier, Jack and technology didn't get along, and it's not like he wasn't Googling these questions. Jack would get these, he always had the media guide, and he would know that media guide, and he would know where a guy was from, and he would know if this guy was the leading hitter for franchise history. And then, you know, the one hint he would always give me is, well, he's in the ballpark. And I go, oh, all right, so now I got this. It might take me 5 or 6 innings and several tries, but like you said, and another thing, you touched on this, never had a bad word to say. And here's what I think is such an amazing thing. In this city, as tough as it is, and you know how tough it is in this city, in the media, as tough as we are, there is, you know, there's a lot of pettiness sometimes in the media business. There's a lot of backstabbing. There's jealousy. There's this. But then there's no one has ever had a bad word to say about Jack. And
I'll give you this, Rob. Like, I left practice today out here in Ann Arbor, and I picked up my phone, and it was Tom McCarthy.
Mm.
And he said when with Jack's passing, the first two people I thought about were you and Fran Dunphy, and I needed to talk to you guys.
Wow.
And he was really. We had conversation and I would say to him, so Tom, you know, what are you doing football wise? And he might answer me with a sentence or two, but he always brought it back to, you know, Jack was at such and such a game. Do you remember when Jack was there the night you guys went 27-0? And it just look. Coaching is an ego business.
Yeah.
The media is an ego business. It's okay to have a healthy ego. right? You have to believe that you're really good at the job that you have, or you're not going to have that job. But Jack sure just went through life egoless.
It's amazing. It is. It's amazing.
Other than hoops at the Palestra, where he was pitching sides and making the rules and calling fouls.
We all talk about the set shot and the games, the Wednesday pickup games at the media games at the Palestra for all those years, and him being the all-time leading scorer at the Palestra. I'll tell you this, we also played some of the softball games at the Vet and then they carried over at Citizens Bank Park. And he must have been, I would tell you, this had to be in my tenure, so he's in his 70s. Maybe he was about 75. He's playing shortstop in a media softball game. I think it was against the PAL or Police Athletic League. And he's turning a double play at 75 wow. years old, which to me is like, wow. You know, I hope I could be walking without help at 75. He's out there turning double plays, and it was just incredible.
Hey, Rob, I want, like, people out there need to treasure a sentence that you just put out there about Philadelphia, and forget all this knocking and all the worry about Carson Wentz or the Phillies bullpen or whatever. The media in Philadelphia played pickup basketball every Wednesday in the greatest college basketball building in America. Do you think that the people in L.A. could say that about Pauley Pavilion? Or in Kansas, they could say it about Allen Fieldhouse? Or in Durham, they could say that about Duke's facility? The answer is no, man. That's why this hurts, but it also brings a smile to your face, because Jack Schur is an absolute Philadelphia iconic figure.
Phil, I couldn't put it any better, and I appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts with us and what you put out there, you know, on social media, calling him Philly's finest and a true gentleman. That was beautiful, and I know a lot of people, it resonated with them, and they appreciated that. And it's weird for me having this conversation with you, and you're out there in Michigan. How are you doing, man? How are you?
I'm all right. I mean, no, I'm better than all right because of the people that I'm surrounded by. Mm-hmm. It's pure and simple. It's basketball. I do wear Philadelphia as a badge of honor. And, when the different names will come up, or I'll say, hey, I heard from so-and-so and had a chance the other day to talk to Jim Lynham, and people will say to me, what is with you guys? And I'll say, just who we are. It's how we have always been. All of this is a bit surreal. I mean, we practice today. We practice again on Monday. I'm hoping that we can practice Tuesday. And this really is a day-to-day operation.
Yeah.
When people say, when's your first game? Well, I know it's on the books for November 25th, but I pray that we can get there. Our fans going to be in the building? I have no idea. I feel strongly that we will have a March Madness. It may not look like one we've ever experienced before, and hopefully we'll never experience again. But it's day by day. And saying all that, Philadelphia still runs through my veins. My wife's state of media, my children and grandchildren are still very, very wired, and they know that I had my phone all September. If the games weren't on MLB Network, then I watched every pitch on my phone trying to root that team into the playoffs. So I may have a different zip code, but my heart still leads with 190.
Well, Phil, you are a Philly legend as well and a true Philly icon, man, and you keeping tabs on the Eagles, I'm sure, right?
Well, yeah, and I have a personal. My son-in-law is a sells premium seats, and he runs the boxes. And ironically, my daughter just told me tonight on a family Zoom that she's going to the game tomorrow.
Mm.
And I said, "Well, you're like the 23rd person that's told me that they're going to be at the game tomorrow. So you'll probably all see each other with only 5,000 people." I'm sure it'll be 5,000 strong because
no doubt
Philadelphia knows no other way than to be passionate.
No doubt. The great Phil Martelli. Phil, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Wish you a ton of blessings. I look forward to seeing you again back here. And, I bet you a lot of people in this area turn on Michigan basketball and rooting for the Wolverines because of Phil Martelli.
I appreciate it. Thank you for including me, and prayers up for Jack's wonderful family too. They share a special guy with all of us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Phil. Appreciate it, man.
All
God
right.
Bless you, brother.
Take care. Be safe.
Thank you. You too. The great Phil Martelli. Really appreciated him sharing some of his moments and memories of Jack and
Rob Lotti on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
We just heard from Coach Martelli. I want to bring in someone who also has great memories with the beloved Jack Shore. He is the voice of Villanova basketball. Whitey Rigsby joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Whitey, thank you so much for taking some time. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great, Rob. Thanks so much for having me on. I can't believe I'm playing second fiddle to Martelli. How'd that happen?
Well, you could look at it this way, right? You're the closer.
See, Phil's a good friend. He's a good friend. I just say that kiddingly, of course.
I know you guys, and I wanted to have on people who can appreciate, share that appreciation for Jack, who've known him over the years. And you played in some of those Labor Classic games that he put together, didn't you?
How about that? Yeah, I mean, I've known him. I've known him for years and years, and he's the guy when you went to the Plestra, whether it was during those lunchtime hoops games or for any Big Five, he was always there. Yeah, he was there, and Dickie Weiss was there, and Bob Vitrone was there. Those are the guys. Frank DeFord was there, the late Frank DeFord. All those guys were there all the time, and he was part of that group. And just a wonderful guy. I mean, just you really can't say enough good things about him. And the joke was that he was the all-time leading scorer in the Plestra, which probably was true because he played more games there than anyone else. He used to put together this All-Star game that was like media versus the labor union. I remember playing those games with him, with Neil Hartman from Comcast, with Yuki Washington.
Yeah.
That was our team and a bunch of guys, and we'd play against the labor guys. And it was all Jack. It was all his game, and he was old guy then. That was 30 years ago. He was already in his late 50s. So, just a good guy. And again, I'm originally a New York City guy. So when I came down here, the Big Five had no impact. I'd rather play St. John's than St. Joe's. But then I got to know guys like Jack Shore and again, Bob Vitrone, and they taught me what the Big Five was all about, more so after I got out. I learned about it as a player, but after I got out, when I became a member of the media and I spent more time away from the game with those guys, like before the games and after the games. And Jack Shore was just, he's a treasure. I mean, he's a true Philadelphia treasure. And we're lucky, as I call myself a Philadelphia now, to have guys like that and to see them move on. I know he's in a better place and he had a great run. I'd sign on for 88 years right now. But just a wonderful guy, and it'll be remembered fondly by so many. And you've seen the outpouring of Mike Jensen, a great article about him, and there's so much stuff on social media about him. And, most of his contemporaries wouldn't even know how to spell social or media. But he was a real cherished individual, and I felt honored to get to know him. And I feel honored to you and appreciative to you to give me an opportunity to speak about him publicly like this. And I know there's a lot of people feel so highly of him.
Thank you. And that's so true, because anytime somebody passes on, people come out and they say really nice things. But when in regards to Jack, I mean, outpouring from everybody, and everything is just right on. It's so true. And you mentioned something about him, you know, being a Big Five leading scorer. That was the only time Jack ever said anything positive about himself, right? He's never been self-promoting. He's never been no ego in a business that's filled with people with ego. Never had anything. But, oh, gosh, if you talk about the Big Five, he'd say, well, I've scored more points there than, than anybody else. But he did it in such a way, a kidding way, a fun way, that you knew it mattered to him because that building mattered to him so much, right?
Yeah, and he knew he was never the, he was never the best player or even anywhere close to the best player on the court when he scored all those points. You know, he was the only guy shooting with two hands. And if you think about it, though, I mean, he was an AP writer, so he didn't have a byline most of the time.
Yeah,
like, you didn't see a lot of Jack Shore bylines. I know he did some other writing, but his main job was writing articles that no one saw who wrote them.
Yeah,
you know, and for many different sports in Philly, but again, I mean, he was involved with other sports, but he's known as the Big Five guy. You know, Big Five Hall of Famer. Jeez. Yeah, he was 5 foot nothing. He's in the Big Five Hall of Fame. Go figure.
You remember anybody who would shoot the ball like him? It's still in this day and age, people still going out there shooting two handed set shots like Jack. You see anybody even mess around on the playground like that?
Never. Only guys again a generation above me. And you think about how many more points he would have scored if there was a 3-point line. That little dude didn't go to the basket a whole lot, you know. So he was shooting from way out most of the time. So actually, his numbers are probably skewed. They should be a little higher.
Did he ever get you on those trivia? Because he got everybody. He got everybody the trivia, and whether it was baseball, basketball, he'd get you somehow.
Yeah, you couldn't keep up with him. I mean, there was no chance, and you know, he would just leave everybody in the dust with all that kind of stuff, and his energy also. I mean, again, he was an older guy, and he was still working, and he just had more energy, and was it. You know, what I always like and respect about Philadelphia writers, Philadelphia people in general, is that they go to games. They're there. You know, they always attend things. And you go to the Palestra, and Jack Shore was there. You go to a Phillies game and be in the press box up there. I was fortunate enough to do a Phillies game one time. Jack Shore was there. He was just always there. And you see that about a variety of Philadelphia people. And they go to games, and they like to be a part of it, part of the whole atmosphere. And you know, that Jack's seat will be not. No one being in Jack's seat will be missed because he was a presence always and everywhere.
Yeah, he absolutely was. And I had a friend call earlier who said so many people nowadays work on their legacy and they're aware of building a legacy and they want to leave a legacy. And Jack didn't do anything to promote his legacy, and he's left such a big one behind just by being him, Whitey. Just by being kind, gentle. Respectful, never lost his patience. And I spent 1,000 games working next to him. I never heard him use a bad word. I mean, guy.
And he never worked on himself. He worked at his craft, and he was terrific at it. And again, you think about it, I mean, the outpouring, we're talking about the outpouring of love. Who said something bad about Jack Shore? No one. And I'm talking about not just today. I'm not talking about last week. I'm talking about 10 years ago. Who said a bad word? I'm sure there were. No one's perfect. But I never heard anybody in all of them. And media people can be a little aggressive, and they can be a little nasty with one another, or certainly when one another's not there. And never people didn't talk that way about Jack.
No.
They didn't talk that way about Jack. And just in positive terms. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his family now. He's in a good place, and his legacy will live on in this town. And we're just fortunate to have a guy like that. And we've been fortunate to have others, but Jack Shore is truly one of a kind.
He's a legend, and in a business that's difficult, in a business where there's so much competition, he's been revered across the board by everyone. And the younger generation that doesn't have that opportunity really, you know, to get to know who he is, he would reach out and just mentor anybody who asked him any questions. And
Rob, you've seen that in some of the articles. Dana O'Neill wrote a great article in Athletic about him. And I said Mike Jansen wrote a great one too. I mean, those people are all a full generation below Jack. Mm-hmm. And he mentored them all. And they all knew him, and they all looked up to him, all respected him. And you're talking about some people, those two in particular, pretty good writers today, doing a pretty good job with their Jack Shore impression, except they all get bylines.
Yeah, it's too bad because we've only at the AP in the last 5 or 6 years started giving bylines to correspondents like Jack. And I talked to him a lot about that because I said, hey, you know, now we're finally starting to give them out to other guys, and he didn't care. He didn't care.
No, he grew up that way. And again, he was egoless. I don't know if you knew it. There's a guy, Jim O'Connell in New York.
Yeah, of course I know. Yeah.
Ock was the same way, who also passed. He passed very young, a couple of years ago. Another guy just never got much recognition, but was a, you know, he was Jack Shore of New York in a sense.
Yeah.
Just a lot younger though. So, we'll miss Jack. We'll miss Jack for sure. And he was a good man. And I used to love, two or three or four years I played in those labor games. Again, like I said, with Yuki, with Neil Hartman and other guys, all names you'll know of guys who are in the media. It was a lot of fun. My youthful days.
Oh man. Well, Whitey, I really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Rob, I appreciate you so much having me the opportunity. How crazy basketball is to get a chance to talk about someone who I dearly loved and I dearly respected more than anything, and will be greatly missed by so many.
Whitey Rigsby, the voice of Villanova basketball, joining us here. Thank you so much, Whitey, and wish you, man, a ton of blessings this season. And stay safe out there. All right.
Thanks so much, Rob. I appreciate having me on. Good luck. Have a good night.
You too. That is Whitey Rigsby, longtime voice of Villanova basketball. Also played there too, sharing with us a little bit.